ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us for tonight's Comic Book Club. And now, here are your hosts, Pete LaBeige, Justin Tyler, and
I'm Justin.
I am Pete.
And that's our man of the booth.
Not a thank you, Boothman. That music was like having a stroke that you were playing before the show.
Oh, great
stroke. Yeah, but you know, like a fun stroke.
Yeah, like a great stroke.
Like good.
Best good stroke. Good.
Thank you guys so much for coming. We're going to keep doling out medical diagnoses throughout the show.
That's very exciting.
Running
theme. Now, later on in the show, Pete actually went to see the A-Team this morning.
Yeah!
Yes! Yes!
So he's going to play a review of that, but it's funny you saw it because I like to think of us as sort of an A-Team.
Yep.
Aww.
You know?
I've always said that.
Yeah, who am I?
Who are you? Well, you're
the van.
You're the van, yeah.
Yeah, you're the van.
We always soup you up over the course of the show.
That sounds
weird.
Who's Justin?
Face man,
yeah,
probably.
Yeah, face.
Yeah, probably right,
so
face man.
Thank you. Yeah. Usually people
you're,
are like,
you're a gorgeous man.
Thank you.
And Pete, who's Pete?
I've got to be Mr. T.
B.A.
I was going to say Murdoch. Howling Mad Murdoch.
Who's the other guy?
Well, you're sort of Murdoch from MacGyver. Sort of a weird villain that keeps coming back.
Does that mean I'm Liam Neeson?
Yeah,
you're not a character in A-Team. You're the actor Liam Neeson.
Yeah. You're the guy from Taken.
Guys, I love it when a plan comes together.
You're Keegan from episode one. Yeah.
Very exciting. Well, I'm also very excited about the guests that we have on the show tonight. They're like our own personal Starsky and Hutch.
Yes. I just love it when people come together. Did you say
that? I think we're going to get into the show. We're going to welcome our guests out, so please, let's do. Ladies and gentlemen, Ben Kissel and David Tishman!
Yeah!
Yes, thanks so much for coming on the show.
All right, this is great.
Of course.
Oh, that's where the beer is.
Yeah.
For two of them.
Yeah. All right, calm down, Boothman. Ben, thank you for coming back to the show.
Thank you really for having me on, except for the last one. It was such a joy. Everybody just had such a good time. You remember that with the emails you got? Be like, bring them back.
Oh, okay.
Did that happen?
Yeah.
Those are just for me?
We get so many emails.
Yeah, there was benkissel1 at gmail.com, benkissel2 at gmail.com. So we got a bunch of emails. What's going on with you?
You sound just like the guy from Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me. Do you know that?
Oh, really?
Oh, that's such a good compliment.
Thank you. Wait, is that the sort of thing he would say? Would he say thank you?
Yes. Right?
Peter Sagal would definitely say that.
All right. Except he'd be like, and then Paula Poundstone. But you don't ever say that.
Radio jokes.
And then Paula Poundstone.
It's perfect.
Done.
Great. It's perfect. Good. We're really nailing the show.
If only she was here.
Oh,
she was here. He wears the same shoulder pads.
Yeah, you're kind of like Paula Poundstone of the show.
Yeah. Try to look more masculine than you are with big shoulder pads.
Yeah, exactly. That's perfect. What I put out there.
Though you're wearing a tie.
True. No one was a Paula Poundstone fan in this audience. The Poundstone material is falling flat.
None of you guys are pounders?
Yes!
Yeah.
Yes.
We got one pounder.
Context.
Yeah. So, Ben, thanks for coming.
Absolutely, yeah. I'm doing this thing online called Kissel Shit List, so give that a look if you want to YouTube it or Funny or Die. It's really good, directed by this guy, Adam Wirtz. Give that a look. It's fantastic.
Diving right into the plugs.
All right.
Well, no, you said, what am I doing? I'm going back and answering.
Yeah.
No, I appreciate that. Thank you. Thank you for keeping track of what we're doing. That's great. David, we're going to...
It's all about the plugs.
Absolutely. So let's just get through some plugs, and then we can get out of here real quick.
Yes.
David, let's chat with you. Let's work backwards, okay?
Backwards.
Start out with big thing that's coming up for you on July, at Comic-Con.
At Comic-Con.
First True Blood comic from IDW is coming out. True Blood's pretty hot right now.
It's
sexy.
What was up with that scene with Bill and Sam? I don't even know where that came from.
A vampire bites you, man, and you start having erotic dreams.
There you go.
For those of you who didn't watch the last
episode, everybody knows that.
Two of the male characters had an almost encounter, turned out to be a dream.
It was interesting.
Yes.
The old dream sequence.
So we're not going to be seeing that.
We're not going to be seeing that, but yeah. It is, the comic book is an original story with all of the main characters, and basically you get origin stories for all of them, for Sookie and Bill and Eric and Lafayette and all of them.
Can you, how hard was it to make the pictures act poorly in the comic?
Wait, that's it. Okay, so you guys watch True Blood, right?
I'm just kidding. I watch the show, but really, some of the actors.
Evan Rachel Wood, what's up with that?
Yeah.
Like, the worst, like, totally wouldn't. And also, the sheriff. Like, does he even read the lines before he shows up?
Maybe not. Maybe he's an actual sheriff.
I have to cut you.
I volunteered to let
you. Eric rules, man.
Yes, man.
Eric rules.
Yeah. Yes. So, he's talking about the actual sheriff, not the vampire sheriff.
No, not Eric.
No.
There's so many different sheriffs. So many sheriffs. It's a very exciting show if you're not watching.
It's like a Vampire Police Academy.
So this, they haven't done the origin stories. These are based on the Southern vampire mysteries, I think. So they haven't done that in the book. This is the first time.
Oh, I have no idea what they do in the book.
Big admission.
All right, so tell us what we can see.
I haven't read the books that the show is based on. I watched the show. Yeah.
So it's kind of like True Blood Year One.
It is True Blood Year One, yes. Okay. It basically enables us to go back and learn secrets about all of the characters without screwing up any kind of continuity that they may be working in season 3. Mm-hmm.
And
there are some big secrets in season 3.
Yeah, so how much have you seen of the season?
Oh, I haven't seen anything. I know a few things, but I haven't seen anything.
Interesting.
How much nudity is there going to be in the comic book?
Okay, that is a very good question.
Thank you.
Because basically, you know, I don't know if any of you have read any of my other work, but I did this vampire book before called Bite Club, which is about a mafia family of vampires in South Beach, Miami, because that's where they are. In the sun. So they're True Blood, and we're great, want to do it. I'm like, great, so you have likeness rights, yes? Yes, okay, we can do nudity, right? Yes. You can do violence, right? Yes. Okay, first script comes back. Okay, we're going to have to pull back on this.
Because it was all nude all the time.
Yeah. There's,
I know your writing style.
A very
literally every
slow close-up on one of the characters' breasts.
Yeah.
For 22 pages.
Now that's a
sick I haven't tried that.
That was awesome.
It's an interesting storytelling method, I think.
It is.
Really,
we do it here.
You know, it's like anything else. With a couple good captions, you can fix it.
Yeah. Here's a little tip. Save the nipple for the last 5 pages.
By the way, it gets pierced on page 26.
Oh!
Spoilers!
Do I know my audience or what?
Yeah.
So let's step back a little bit. Tomorrow, sure. I think, the Red Herring Trade is coming
out. No. Tomorrow, plug. Tomorrow is issue 3, the final issue of Angel, Barbary Coast. I don't know if you guys are Angel fans.
Duh.
Oh, that was the shyest scream ever.
That was low.
Yeah, it was like a rude acknowledgement that he likes you.
Duh,
I like you, dumbass.
Are there any Barbary Coast fans out there?
Yeah. Maybe that's what it was.
Duh. There are, but there are some Chinese hookers.
Hey.
In the audience?
Okay. That's honestly 90% of our audience on any given.
Good. If you like Angel, he is recently sold. He's having a lot of trouble with that. And it's actually sort of an emotional turning point for Angel. He doesn't become good in any way, but he kind of begins to understand that he's got to deal with this. So it's pretty good.
Could you talk a little bit about working on licensed projects like this, like Angel, like True Blood?
Sure.
You mentioned already that, you know, getting likeness rights obviously is a big problem. What other problems do you run into? What are other things do you have to leap past when you're working on things like that?
I also did some Star Trek stuff. Mm-hmm. I have done some licensed stuff. As long as you have a feel for the show and you know how the characters talk, you're fine. But each, basically, licenses create a little box for you. and you have to work within that box. You know, certainly if you're doing Star Trek, you know, Spock can't do anything that Spock, even if you think up the coolest thing in the world that Spock could do.
He just loves Wendy Williams.
Yes. He mind melds with Wendy Williams.
And that would be insane.
Wakes up with her weave on his head.
She's only got 800 more.
You cannot do that.
Okay.
Like, literally, Kirk, right? We all know James T. Kirk, great ladies' man, right? I wrote a scene, he's walking down the hallway, this really cute ensign walks, and there's just one panel, and he turns his head to look at her ass. And literally, I had to do a 3-page memo about why that was okay.
What was the complaint?
Too sexual. And then in the first issue, he's, you know, in every episode of Star Trek, he sleeps with the alien.
Yeah.
So, of course, in the first issue of the comic, I had him sleep with the alien, literally in color. I don't know how familiar you guys are with the comics process, but color is like late. It costs money to fix. We had to take the girl's body out in color.
So that seems
like
far
like
weird.
So he was like air-fucking somebody?
No.
That's fine. I know. You can do that legally anywhere in America.
You see like his fingers dangling down.
Yeah, it's normal.
Kurt would do that.
Thing, though, he wasn't even fucking her. It was after she was sleeping. You could see her back, and he was sitting up, pulling on his boot. You know that Kirk tug that he always used to do? And no, we had to take her out and come.
Well, because he murders all the people he sees in the show. So
she did die, I think.
No.
I'm sorry, to answer your question.
Of happiness. She died of happiness.
I actually like licensed characters. It's fun.
Yeah. On the other end of the spectrum, you write very original stories. You have Greatest Hits, you have Red Herring. Mm-hmm. Talk a little bit about these and writing, you know, something that isn't Batman or Superman and isn't Angel or True Blood.
The stuff I can plug.
The four type of things that things are.
I understand. It's like the food groups. I really like doing the creator-owned stuff, and it's just, I come up with an idea that I'm passionate about. A lot of times, you know, I think with Greatest Hits, I wanted to do something really fun with superheroes. I wasn't looking to do like a Vertigo superhero kind of thing. I mean, that's where it ended up, but what I really like to do is I like to inject real-world situations into superhero comics. I don't like real world superheroes because I think that's bullshit, but I like to interject real world concepts into a superhero world. That makes it more fun. It's really just about the idea. And I know that's really pedantic, but I'm sorry. It is.
Oh, yeah.
And like Red Herring, Red Herring, I had this idea. What it really started with is, like, I used the word red herring, like, okay, that could be a guy. And then if that was actually a guy, he would work with someone and her name would be the MacGuffin. And then it's red herring and the MacGuffin. And then everything sort of spiraled out from there. And then I was hanging out with Philip Bond and he was into it. And I love Philip and we've worked together before and he's amazing. And it just kind of came from there.
So does one character like always create the world, or do you ever create the world first and then have the character sort of like come from that? So like in out or like
out in
the other universe.
Or wait, is it in?
No.
Oh, is that possible?
Out.
Out out means you just don't ever do anything. You just go home and go to sleep.
I do out out a lot.
Yeah.
In out.
Okay.
I don't even remember what that meant.
No.
Character first and then world around.
Yes.
Yeah.
Cool. All right. Very good. We're going to move on with our next section, which we like to call The Stack.
Yeah, we do.
We love calling it that. One of our favorite things. First thing we're going to talk about, Batman 700, a landmark issue.
That's a big number.
Yeah. Finally, they made it to 700 issues. Everything that happened in the previous 699 is coming to a head.
Yeah. This is the way Batman was originally intended. Yeah. It was just like this issue.
Grant Morrison looking at the past, present, and future, and further future of Batman as they all solve one mystery. What'd you guys think about this?
Three Batmans in time, if you will.
Or Batman.
It's 8 pages of story and 32 pages of pinup.
Pretty much.
Okay.
That's less for your dollar.
Yeah, this is a little bit of like welcome to my crazy town. But that's, you know, you if you sign up for a Grant Morrison thing, you're looking forward to that. But the art changes almost every four pages, which I feel like in a Grant Morrison book, you want things to help you. You look at the through lines, but if the art's throwing you off, you're like, I got nothing. Yeah, you got nothing. So it's like they really wanted to mess with you in this one. They're like, not only is it going to be crazy Grant Morrison writing, but we're also changing the artwork up, so you'll have no idea who's who.
So now you said they were solving a mystery. Tell me about that. Can you tell me what they solved?
Sure. It's a locked door mystery where there's a man with a laser hole through his chest.
Sure.
He is about 40 years older than he should be.
Right.
Nobody has come in, nobody has left, and they don't know what happened or who caused it. And so they find out, essentially, looking back to the past and looking forward to the future, we, the reader, are able to put it together that this guy, the scientist, has built a maybe machine that allows him to travel through time, so he's actually killed himself in the future to stop the bad things that happened in the past from ever happening.
What?
Right. Where did Batman come in all that?
Not too much.
Where did all these Batmen? They were just sort of standing there a lot, and they were
there's a lot of dialogue where the Batmen are standing around being like, well, this is a delightful mystery.
Yeah.
I'm having a good time.
They certainly had a great time. I don't know, I wish it, like, the idea of the Joker having a joke book and that being like, having a story around that, I thought was really fun, but there was never any of that. So.
Especially because it's written in invisible ink.
Yeah. All good.
No.
Okay.
No, I didn't know we were going to talk about it.
Okay.
Thanks for coming to the show, you guys.
Sure.
Absolutely. Yeah.
You got through all 699 and skipped that one.
I like this. I thought this was fun. I mean, as usual with Grant Morrison stuff, there's probably a lot more that is tying into a lot of other things than we can necessarily pick up right now.
You know what? People keep giving him credit for that. I think that's bullshit.
Yes.
Yeah, we've reached a limit with that.
Yeah. The maybe machine? Where are we going to see that?
Oh, we'll see it
maybe
again.
Maybe we'll see it again. I got you guys good. All right, let's move on. Talk about S.H.I.E.L.D. number 2 by Jonathan Hickman and Dustin Weaver.
Finally a book we can really sink our teeth into.
Yeah.
A book that's so straightforward.
Just makes a lot of sense.
Jonathan Hickman, the Grant Morrison of the Marvel Universe.
Yeah.
This is following the secret history of S.H.I.E.L.D., the Strategic Hazard Initiative.
Espionage of law enforcement.
Division.
Yeah,
something.
Yeah. Law division.
Right? Yes? Yeah. Anybody? Cool.
Yeah.
The secret history. Well, why don't you tell this one? Because I told the story of the Batman issue.
Leonardo da Vinci.
He's not kidding.
Huh?
No,
he's in this. And so are two guys, and one of them is Mr. Fantastic's dad, and one of them is Tony Stark's dad. And they're like, what are we going to do? They're all these lasers. And they're like, I have a magic staff. And he cuts a guy in half. And then they're like, take this elevator, and then you'll be in this room full of guys. And that's where the issue ends up.
No, you forgot about you walk downstairs, your thoughts turn into a script. You forgot about that page.
Oh, right.
Fuck that.
That threw me off because I was like, oh, the comic's done.
Oh.
I thought it was like this.
Oh, there's a page of text.
There was a page of like, I was like, oh, they showed you what the actual script looked like, and I closed it, and I didn't realize. there's actually two more pages. Yeah.
You closed it. You burnt down the comic shop. I never talked about comics ever again.
What an arsonist being.
But I guess Da Vinci kind of he's got a huge ego.
Not just a painter.
Yeah.
That's great.
He's like, no, I created all this
so
shit.
So much going on.
Like, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
So you did not like this?
Thank you.
Terrible. No, I liked it. I liked it all right. I'm looking forward to more information about what these guys sort of do. Well, the next issue, Galactus shows up.
Basically, this is like their version of bringing back. Remember when they did that whole thing with Franklin and it was that bubble universe and they were all friends? So basically they just took that concept and threw it 30 years in the past, right?
A little bit. I mean, this is a massive retcon of the Marvel Universe is essentially what's going on. Saying there has been the secret history that...
Do you need that?
Yes. Yes, I do.
Real bad.
Do you need that?
No.
How do you feel about retcon?
Wow, this is getting real personal.
You know what? What I feel like is if a story works, it works. And unfortunately, we're two issues in, and I don't know whether this will work yet, because Hickman is being very reserved with the information he's giving.
Well, already, wasn't Reed Richards' dad a real dick to him? And not like a great
But wasn't Tony Stark's dad a dick to him?
Yeah.
No, but then he found out
dicks on the road.
Once he watched a movie about his dad, then he realized his dad wasn't a dick.
That was
the
Sometimes
if you watch a movie, it solves all of your like issues you
so
have.
So all that drinking actually comes from a good place.
Yes.
That guy made a new element and then made electrons into bushes and then put them on a big piece of cardboard.
Right.
Jenna Bush.
Yeah. Exactly. He built
a bush. There was Jeb, and then there was Jenna.
Well, we just wrote Jonathan Hickman's book.
But I did like the fact that they finally explained the talking bird, which was nice. That talking bird that's been throughout the thing, they were like, oh, that's your dad who just died a couple panels ago.
Was that Lost? I think that was in Lost.
Yeah.
Yes!
That came out of the pit.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, he thought his dad was a dick.
Talk about something I know most people on the show at least like. Avengers Academy number 1 by Christos Gage and Mike McCullough, who incidentally are going to be on the show next week talking about this very issue. So nice. Actually, you love this.
I love this,
You love this.
The best debut of the decade.
I don't know if I said that.
You said this was the best comic you've ever read.
Yep, that's true.
You said this was the best thing ever written ever.
I'm not one for hyperbole, but yes, I said all of those things. And this is the best fucking time I've ever had. I like this issue a lot. It reminded me, my quote was, it's like 90s New Warriors with sort of a dark twist at the end. I thought it was great. Very fun. A lot of nice new characters. I'm looking forward to talking to them next week.
What I like about this, it's a great first issue because it gets you excited for the series, which I think is something that needs to happen in number one, and definitely a big check mark for that.
And teenagers have a lot of problems, and that's when you get to see that happen.
Yeah.
Wow.
Isn't that right? That's just true.
Apparently, Vale can become various types of gas.
Yeah.
She and I share that.
Yes.
All right. Wow.
That is the most highbrow fart joke I've ever heard.
Thank you.
All right, cool. So that's
you didn't like it?
You didn't like it?
No, I was fine with it.
Wow.
You know what? I like this. I like the characters a lot. I thought it was a good introduction to the characters. I like the writing. I like the twist at the end. But I felt
it was
like
a nice twist.
It didn't move quite far enough. There wasn't quite enough going on in this first issue for it.
Fortunately, they have another issue coming out next week.
Do they? I think this is a one shot.
Nope, there's plenty more of that game.
All right.
At the very least, you got a good fart joke out of it.
Yeah,
exactly. That's the worst that happens. That's just great.
Same thing when I read Moby Dick. One good fart joke.
I'll tell you.
Okay.
That's very impressive.
Hatslash, my first Maniac, number one. I was trying to figure out any fart joke with Moby Dick.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a couple other jokes that get in the way.
Call me Ish. That's not a good fart.
A fart joke doesn't have to have a fart in it.
Let alone tell me
if there's one lesson you take from the show tonight, it's that a fart joke doesn't need to have a fart in it. Hackslash, my first Maniac number one. Pete, huge fan of the series in general.
Pete, character in the series.
Pete is, for those of you who don't know, we're big enough fans and we've talked enough about this that Tim Seeley, the writer, has put Pete in as a candle zombie in this series.
Wow.
Yeah. It's amazing. I died off panel, so I can come back.
So what'd you think about this, Pete?
Well, what's interesting is Hackslash is an amazing comic, but it's also the juxtaposition between Cassie Hack and Vlad, who is this big monster type guy. And now this is kind of her origin story. What's
they're
that?
Not.
They're not dating.
No.
Okay.
This is her origin story. Yeah, he does wish.
Like we all do.
And but there's no comedy in it. There's some light comedy, but you realize that Vlad provides most of the jokes. So
this is rebooting a little bit. Tim Seeley has taken the series over to Image Comics. The rough pitch is that the last girl left alive after a movie slasher attack goes on to kill slashers. So this is showing over the course of the series how she got started.
Yeah.
Right.
I liked it. It's the tone's very different from the other
Yeah.
the regular book. But
yeah, and plus it's exciting. It's over an Image now, so hopefully it'll continue and get the publicity it deserves.
I don't think they need to lay out all this stuff where she has so many problems and the whole mom thing. They could have just sort of said it and then moved on to another.
Plus, she's kind of crazier than I originally thought she was.
I mean, you didn't think she was going to be crazy?
Well, no, I knew she was crazy, but in this one, she goes from like leaning on her father's shoulder, like they're watching TV, and then she like goes and gets a knife and is like, "I'm out of here, Dad! Back up off me!"
Yeah.
And you're like, "What?"
Teenagers, man.
Yeah, teenagers. Who gets them?
I can't wait until my daughter gets old enough
to almost knife your balls.
You never forget. You never forget the first time. Your balls. All right, we're going to move on. Prince of Power, number 2 of 4.
Yeah!
This is spinning off of the Incredible Hercules series. Amadeus Cho, the sidekick of the Incredible Hercules, is searching for his dead partner, going after 4 ingredients to possibly, mythical ingredients to possibly bring his partner back.
Not regular.
Yeah, not regular ingredients.
Like
a cup of sugar.
No, he needs a great pesto before he can have it. It's going to be hard to get all that.
It's like I was saying to you over dinner the other night. A good pesto always brings me back to life.
Yeah.
Pete, big fan of the series as well.
Yeah, this is just so much fun. And it's also rewards the readers, because if you pay attention to all the panels, there's little comedy moments.
Not me.
No,
I don't do that.
Don't pay attention to the panels.
Well, you know, even like just if the more you pay attention, the more you're rewarded, because there's layers of comedy.
I get it.
So. I wish there was a
That's the way I read comics.
In that one, you actually do.
True, exactly. We'll get to that in a moment.
They still have the Pizza Hut star system. That would be great. 3 comics, then you get a free personal pan pizza. I read so much more.
That was mostly books, but
yeah,
remember.
Oh, no, you could read. You could read comics.
You could read comics for
yeah,
book
in my school. You could. Definitely.
Man. I read so many Hardy Boys novels.
Oh, the Hardy Boys.
Pizza.
They were such schmucks.
They were.
Huh? They were schmucks?
The Hardy Boys?
They were amazing.
The end was always like, oh, we didn't even know. It was the great Uncle Charlie. He wasn't down for 3 weeks throughout this whole book, and they bring him in the last page.
You
was like, it was him.
You clearly didn't read the more modern series. In the first one, Joe's girlfriend dies in an explosion. Iola. And then Frank's girlfriend, Callie.
That's our show!
These terrorists blow it up, and they have to solve the mystery. He's upset the whole time.
He's picking pieces of her out of his hair entire book.
Now, real dark.
No more memories, damn it!
Later, in the 4th book, they bring her back to life.
Of course.
Through cloning. They clone her.
What?
Hardy Boys? They're
searching
for magic elements.
Yeah, ingredients. Yeah.
Cinnamon.
Cinnamon.
Nutmeg.
Pesto.
And then she's almost nice to that ball.
Yeah, that's true.
So,
anyway.
That's a good read.
All right. I guess there was
going
to be
nice. Cool.
I think that's basically all we need to say about Prince of Power.
Yeah.
It's a great comic book. It's a lot
fantastic.
Of fun. Greg Pak and Fred Van Lente have a great time.
Quite a duo, those two.
Yeah, and it's very smart. It's emotional. It's pretty much a perfect comic book.
Wow.
I personally have seen your face.
I would say it's the best comic book debut of the decade.
Issue 2?
Issue 2.
All right, that's a bold review.
All right, we're going to move on. Talk about Punisher Max, number 8. Now, Pete, you're a fan of this. So, this is about the Punisher that's named Max. Is
yes.
that correct?
Yeah, his brother.
Okay. Max, Punisher Max.
Yeah, he's like,
let's kill some
You're
criminal.
Not turning it up enough. I go to 11. This is just classic, because Punisher sucks right now, but you have Punisher Max, which is nice.
Wait, I'm going to pitch you something really quick.
Okay.
Punisher Max is the Punisher who goes around killing Punishers.
Interesting.
So are that many Punishers?
There's at least 2.
In the perfect world, there is.
Yeah.
Well, wait, if the regular Punisher sucks, and there's a really good Punisher,
yeah,
shouldn't they just get rid of the Punisher that sucks?
Yeah, they should.
Here's the thing. Punisher? It's because the Punisher that he thinks sucks is the more interesting Punisher. It's the
wait,
only
I'm sorry.
Punisher.
Franken Castle is more interesting?
Yeah, because it
looks ridiculous.
What's so great about this? All he does in this comic is torture a dude.
Yeah!
What?
Torturing dudes! Ben Kissel's with me.
That's what happens.
It depends on how he tortures him.
He cuts his piece of his body off and nailed him to a wall.
Yeah, that's to show him.
And then
you're like, remember that? That used to be yours.
Yeah, I definitely get the concept. I just don't think it's very interesting.
I do the same thing. I do the same thing with my body parts.
Yeah.
So I don't forget. I'm like, well, where are my fingers? Oh yeah, they're nailed to the wall.
All there.
That's great.
Yeah, it's awesome.
This is a great comic book. I think this is really good.
I like the Bullseye story. The Bullseye in this is reliving the Punisher's life.
Yeah.
With kidnapped people to try to get in the Punisher's heads. I think that's cool.
Slightly against the use of the nail gun, though. You got to go manual with that.
Really?
Okay.
Do you think the Punisher's getting lazy in his life?
I mean, you know, is sure? Do you have to use it? I feel like the old hammer and nail is just fine with me.
He's got a
especially with torturing. You would think, like, taking your time. You know,
absolutely.
Yeah.
He's got sort of a nail. You need two hands. Nail gun, only one hand.
Well, like, he's got an extra finger here anyway.
He's got a real Tim the Toolman Taylor mentality. More power.
Jason Aaron is doing a very textured, layered story. Yeah. I think Steve Dillon's art is great in this.
Reminiscent of Garth Ennis's run. It's very great.
Well, I mean, Steve Dillon.
Right, exactly.
I think he means
the, I'm talking about the
right. Yeah, Steve Dillon is very reminiscent of his own work.
Yeah.
All right, let's move on. Last but not least, Nemesis, number two by Mark Millar and Scott.
You love it, huh?
I love it. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
The idea of this series is, what if Batman was a dick?
More white.
Yeah, and more white instead of black. It's a really big twist. Yeah. Pete, another super hyper violent comic book. Yeah, you like that?
Well, this one is—it's not so much. It's all about planning. In this one, so
the most boring part of super violence.
Yeah,
planning.
It's the old paperwork.
Yeah, it's like watching the Punisher buy tools. Ooh, he should have the tools.
Yeah.
What did you think about this?
I like it all right. It reminds me so much of Death Note. The manga series.
The idea is that the Batman, evil Batman character, is tracking down police chiefs all over the world, setting death traps for them, and trying to outsmart them and eventually kill them. And he eventually is challenging the smartest police chief in the world.
Because police chiefs do so much.
Yeah, I know, right?
Most police chiefs aspire to more if they're the smartest.
Yeah. Also in this issue, the evil Batman has already jumped on top of Air Force One and kidnapped the president and been like, haha, I kidnapped the president. He then invades and kills everybody in the Pentagon except for this police chief. And
his friend.
Yeah, and his friend. And is like, I'm not going to kill you guys yet. Goodbye. And that's pretty much it.
Well, he's like, I'm not going to kill you until March 27th, because that's what I told you earlier. So he's got...
He sticks to his deadline.
Yeah, when you mark it on the calendar, you're not going to cross it.
I like
a man
in the schedule.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, this is silly.
Yeah, it is.
What, the show?
Yeah. Oh, God, my life is so stupid. Anyway. is that what you were saying? I like it all right. I get it. He's very violent. Like, I know you love violence so much, but there's so much violence in all these books. It's just like, let's get to the story of it. I can see fingers torn off anywhere.
Really?
Well, that's not true.
I'm in Chinatown. Talk to my neighbor.
Chinatown? What does that mean?
All over the place.
Yeah.
Fingers just sold like frogs down there.
That's sold like frogs and served for your delight.
Gotta try.
You know what? Let's go to Chinatown after this. I want to see your Chinatown.
Really?
Just a basement on 34th Street.
And that's it for the stack.
Yay!
We are going to move on to the next section, which is my favorite section because you make it up. It's your audience questions. And for that, we're going to bring out Boothman.
Boothman!
Hooray! So we got some questions. Boothman lives in the booth, in case you're
wondering. That's why he dresses like that.
There you go.
A lot of you guys weren't here when we started. What's going on?
That's great.
Yeah, well, not for
yeah, leave.
Yeah. I like an empty show.
You're mistaken, friend.
So, I got a question for the writer guy.
Mm-hmm.
Which is Ben, right?
Okay. Yeah, of course.
We're all right.
Check out Kissel Shitless, by the way. It's great.
Some great writing in there.
There is some great writing. I'm telling you, Kissel.
If you could write a Buffy, Blade, or Twilight character to True Blood, who would it be?
Ooh. Okay, no Twilight.
Dang.
Oh! Oh, why gotta be like that?
Oh. Why you gotta be like that?
And that's the hilarious difference between men and women.
Just give it to Buffy, though.
Sex bomb.
A little Buffy, a little sex bomb.
Give me that question again.
No.
Okay. I feel like you really have to have Buffy, right? Because Buffy could wander in and be like, really? Really? It's really, guys, it's taking you this long to figure
everything
out?
Actually, you know what? I would write Buffy in. Buffy would go after Eric, and then they would have sex.
There's a fanfic already.
Really? That's a total shocker.
Really? Yeah.
There is, like, sexual snorks fanfic.
Really?
Really?
Yeah, my website.
Fair point.
So, you write Buffy in.
Yeah.
Cool. Anybody else?
This season you'd have to write in, what's his name, Seth Green,
mm-hmm. Sure.
And he'd be killed immediately.
Torn in half.
Torn, yes.
You mean the actual actor, Seth Green. I hope. Okay. I want to have Blade wanders through town, and everything's crazy for an episode.
That's a great plot.
You should be a writer.
That's more of a pitch.
I wouldn't go so far as to call it a pitch. Raise your hand if you asked that. Pete's going to bring you some free comics. Let's get the next question.
What do you recommend to someone to read who hasn't read comic books before?
We talked about this here on the show before, and I think it really depends on what you like in general. Whenever anybody asks me that, I say, okay, what are your favorite movies? What are your favorite TV shows? Because there's so many different things in comics, you can't be like, cool, Sandman, go for it.
Yeah.
And you're done with it. Who asked that question? Were you asking for yourself?
I was asking because he made me write a question.
For people who are forced into things, I would recommend Nemesis by Mark Miller.
I don't really know too much about the comics, but I just read The Walking Dead Compendium, and that was a really good thing for me. I loved it, like every
zombies
every section.
Yeah, that's great.
I'm a huge horror movie fan. What if they're like Tool Time, and their Home Improvement, and you know, like what if you're a big fan of like the television Home Improvement show? What do you recommend for that?
She-Hulk. Sure.
What aspects of Home Improvement are you favorite?
I'm more into the and then I really like when he plays with Al, and then occasionally he staples his thumb to the roof.
Oh,
which
so the whole package then, really.
I'm a fan.
Yeah.
Let me just say that.
Clearly. Well, I think Captain America and Bucky have sort of the same relationship as Tim and Al. So,
okay.
Early Captain America.
That's perfect.
Great.
Yeah, I would say that it would really depend, like, if you're into superhero stuff or if you're not. Like,
is there a comic book sponsored by the Ford Motor Company or anything?
There was.
Why, you love trucks?
There actually was.
It was all about Ford.
What was the comic?
It was like the new, like, Scion had, like, a comic or...
Well, Viper, they did Viper as a comic.
Oh, yeah.
Remember Viper, what a TV show.
And DC did that licensed thing. Timothy Green did the art. What was that thing?
Pinto.
Rush City.
It was an amazing...
Rush City.
The hatchback.
Yeah.
Truck Man.
Yeah.
That's just a
good guess.
Was Rush City.
Cool. I mean, pretty typical answers, I guess, are our Sandman is always a good one.
Yep. Blankets.
Blankets. Blankets have been, I feel like, gaining a lot of steam in the recommendation
concrete.
Circles.
That's a great...
Yeah, Concrete is amazing. That was actually a friend of mine who didn't like comics and never read comics, but was very literate. I recommended Concrete to him, and he got totally into it.
How literate? How literate was
Locks and
he?
Does the name Charles Dickens mean anything?
Oh, nope.
Me neither. I just made it up.
There's a great fart joke in there.
Charles Dix.
Yep.
That is the mystery of Edmund Drew.
Yeah.
Nice. Charles Dickens. Charles Dickens.
The only books I've read are books by Charles Dickens and Moby Dick. I don't know.
I don't get it.
It seems to be.
A lot of fart jokes. Raise your hand if you ask that. Pete's going to bring you some free comics. Let's get the next question.
Thank
you. Follow me here, guys, okay? If a werewolf bites a vampire, does the vampire get werewolf powers?
Yes. I mean, we all know.
Okay.
Really? That was a stupid question.
No, really?
just with the Buddhist
book. Well, what do you think?
Dissension in the audience.
No, in the book.
What book? The Bible?
No.
Yes. And lo, God said, werewolf, fight this vampire. And I will take you out of the promised land.
You know what? I have to say no. No? No.
How come?
I mean, there may be an example of that.
Because the vampire's already dead?
Because the vampire, exactly right. The vampire is already dead, and the werewolf's bite affects you in a physiological manner, and if you're dead, it doesn't affect you the same way.
Yeah. Yes. On the other hand, if either one was bitten by a Frankenstein, they would definitely gain Frankenstein powers.
Which is... Yes.
That's
well, which is
lame. Really? You're like, oh no, that's ridiculous. That would never happen with a Frankenstein.
Yeah, Frankenstein doesn't bite people.
Exactly.
What the hell?
Yes, that was the major thing that I got.
Thank you. That was actually very.
Cool. Raise your hand if you asked that. Pete's gonna bring you some free comics, and let's do a lightning round.
Lightning round. You gotta admit it. Yeah. You gotta admit that was you.
All right, this is where we answer your questions super quickly.
Were you attracted to Bradley Cooper in the A-Team movie?
That's to Pete, specifically.
Pete? No, very easy.
Okay. Yeah, but in The Hangover, he's pretty hot. Am I right?
What do you mean, what?
An alias?
I don't like dudes, I'm sorry.
Well, you can still think he's attractive.
Yeah.
What?
You were attracted by his...
Oh, you're a closet homosexual, Pete.
What do you mean?
What?
She didn't ask you to bone up over him.
Sexy as well.
What do you mean you sit there and you be like,
I'm just impressed you said mention the name of that movie.
Okay. If you were looking at him and me naked together, you'd be like, he is more attractive than me. That's all I'm saying.
Yes.
So I think you have this. You know he's an attractive man. That's all I want.
Yeah, in comparison, but
see, you couldn't admit it before. You couldn't admit it before, now you get two naked guys you're looking at. Let's get the next question.
Who is the sexiest vampire of all time?
Sexiest vampire?
Of all time.
Count from Sesame Street.
He just has a weird sexual...
Dodge, why time bullets?
Why time bullets?
Time bullets, I guess, like Captain America?
Graham Morrison has a magic hat with a bunch of words in it. And whatever matches up.
If Eric Northman is Eric Northman portrayed as evil in the comic, or are you adding more nuance to his character?
Nuance.
Nice. Big nuance.
Big nuance fan.
And by the way, nuance naked sex.
Oh God, yes.
Oh.
Yes.
Oh.
Next question. Next question.
We gotta change that chair out.
Hey, look what you did. You broke his sexual... He's off the chain now.
I think he's saying it because something happened with Pete after he was thinking about Bradley with before. He went all the way over to that chair.
Did you say Bradley Whitford?
Yes.
That's a big admission on him.
Oh, I'm sorry. Like, we're not all sexually attracted to the good guy.
Who is better at breaking the fourth wall, Deadpool or Ambush Boy? Bug?
Ambush Boy. Deadpool.
Okay. Shield.
She-Hulk.
Yes.
That's the correct answer.
That's the correct answer.
Why isn't Quicksilver in Move? Avengers Boots? Move?
Movies?
No, there's no I.
Anybody?
Move? Who wrote this?
Maybe movie.
What did you
say? More.
Well, he's in Avengers Academy number one.
Yeah.
Yes.
So there you go.
I haven't read it yet.
He's very fast.
Yeah. So it's
he's so fast, and he's actually around a lot more than you think he is.
Exactly.
He's just moving very quickly.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Well.
One left.
Do it.
Who would win in a fight? David Peterson or Daredevil? I think Peterson might have an edge because he can kind of see. That's
Oh, David Patterson?
Patterson, excuse me.
Oh, David Patterson just did that huge
Mouse
leap.
Card? Huh? Who's the author of Mouse Guard?
David Peterson.
Okay, so between David Peterson, author of Mouse Guard, and Daredevil, who would win in a fight?
I don't know.
Well, wait, if he drew the mice, would they come to life and defend his honor? Or would it
be yes!
Of course, Peterson!
Yes. Good. Then I'm going to have to go with Peterson on this one.
Yeah, wait, the question is, do you believe?
Wow.
Yes.
Nice.
There you go. And that's it for your audience question. Guys, we are going to move on with our next section, which we like to call the Week in Geek.
Yeah.
Hooray! First thing we're going to talk about, announced by Jeff Johns, creative officer of DC Comics. There is a live action test for the Blue Beetle, the Jaime Reyes Blue Beetle. And they put up two pictures of that today that you can check out to potentially work on doing a live action Blue Beetle series. Now, we were huge fans of the comic.
Huge.
What do you guys think about this? Would you like to see a live action Blue Beetle?
Well, if it means hopefully more comic books, then yes.
Tricky answer.
I believe that will happen.
Yeah.
Yes. Chances are, that's what they do.
I hope so, but I don't know. What is the success rate of TV shows like this? I mean, it's like My Secret Identity meets Mantis, sort of. Is anybody super hot
good
shows?
Good call on Mantis.
Yeah, if anyone remembers that.
Wow. Well, there are two more After Heroes. What was on 50,000 seasons? I think something like that.
All of eternity.
There's two new shows.
Smallville's been on for 9 years.
Yeah, and they don't have to try very hard to make that.
And there's two more shows. There's The Cape and No Ordinary Family are both going to be on. They're both superhero shows. So it's not out of the realm of possibility, I think, to have a live action show. The question is it something you want to see translated to live action or animation or not at all?
I mean, I love the character. We love the comic books. It's an Iron Man comparison, so it might hook people in a little bit. I think it could do all right.
I'd like to see it follow the comics that John Rogers wrote very closely.
That would be awesome.
In fact, if anything, he does Leverage now, right? So that's only a couple of episodes per season. If they could snag him to work on that, I think that would be great.
Yeah.
Personally. Cool. We're all
not to make that happen.
Tough.
All right, I'll work on that.
Yeah.
I just feel like by the time it goes to air, though, it's going to be so much different than the comic book you guys love, and you guys are just going to hate it, and it's going to ruin everything.
That never happens. Let's talk about a movie that's coming out.
Well, actually, first we're going to talk about the new Aqualad.
Oh, yeah.
You guys, very exciting. So the new Aqualad...
He's black.
Is black.
That's true.
That's new.
Yes, he's also, it turns out, afraid of water. And lives in New Mexico.
That's a problem.
Yeah, it's a real tricky.
And he doesn't have
port, no. What do you guys think about this?
Wait. Does that mean that Aquaman have sex with Black Manta's mom or something?
Are you
sure
that's not Static with a new costume?
Yeah.
The guy on the bottom?
Well, this is the cover to Brightest Day 10, I think. And tomorrow, Brightest Day 4 comes out, and that sets up this new Aqualad. Who doesn't like water? Which
how is that possible?
Well, I mean, maybe it's just he doesn't like his dad, so he doesn't want to see it. You know what I mean?
Well, I don't think he's Aquaman's son.
The biggest question for me.
Wait, so there's a guy named Aqualad, and he's not related to Aquaman at all.
What's your father's name?
Bill.
Bill, are you Bill Ladd? Yeah. Oh, you're Bill Ladd.
Bill Ladd.
My homie is.
Seriously, how did he get black?
How did he get black? I don't think he did that. this is a new character that's taking over the
Mets. This isn't Garth Aqualad. This is a brand new Aqualad.
But it's sort of, all these characters came back to life. Garth clearly didn't, so I don't know. It's going to be interesting. There's such a big push for Aquaman Aqualad in this.
Yeah, I mean, the biggest thing holding him back, I guess, is that he's Aqualad.
Yeah. True.
Which is not that interesting.
No.
Huh? Does he talk to smaller fish?
Just boyish fish.
Yeah, like very young.
Angsty teenage fish.
Young boyish fish.
Yeah, I talk to young boyish fish too. Let's move on. Next thing we're going to talk about, movie coming out this Friday, Jonah Hex is coming out.
Look at that side view mirror. Look how creepy that guy looks.
Oh, yeah, that's hilarious.
Oh, wow. That is terrifying.
Yeah, he died. He died a week later after
that. Yeah, she shot him with the Gatling gun horse thing. Like
that's fair. Pete, you're a big fan of Jonah Hex. Looking forward to the movie?
Nope. I'm not going to see it. I'm not going to support something.
You're not going to see it?
I'm not going to see it.
Why aren't you going to see it?
Because I'm a huge Jonah Hex fan, and that is not what I love.
Well, I don't like Megan Fox in it, but it's going to be a fun movie, I assume.
Really? Were you a fan of the comics at all?
Yeah.
So you like the fact that what was a comic then that they...
That's what I just said on the TV show. I mean, you just have to expect they're going to change it because it goes through a whole series of different filters when it's for TV or movie, you know? It can never be the same.
You're really an open, upbeat guy.
I'm
a check out the shit list, all right?
You should. This is the shit list, ladies and gentlemen. You can find it on YouTube, Funny or Die, internet.
Ah.
Oh.
Great.
I've heard about the internet. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Mm-hmm. I found Megan Fox on there. I don't even think she's a track. Yeah. I hate that. I don't.
I think it's amazing there have been hardly any promotion for this movie except, like, hey, Megan Fox?
I'm so
remember? Remember how hot you all think she is?
She looks like everybody else. Small bosom, no butts, skinny waist. Look at this. I can't deal with these women.
What? She's not even wearing any underwear.
So you're looking for a...
I like a larger woman, and I think they need to be represented more.
How large?
I'm just saying, I thought the girls in the Serve Mix a Lot video, a little on the light side. A little on the light side. I like a big one.
A big one?
I know a plumper.
Good. A feeder or a gainer? Anyway, we were
this is great. This is great. We're really making some love connections, I think, on the show. And so with that done, I think we're going to move on and talk about the A-Team, Pete's A-Team Corner.
That is hysterical.
Good Photoshop.
Yeah.
Did you just find that in Google Image Search?
Yeah. Someone already made that. I don't know.
Wow.
Pete, you saw it this morning.
I like how you kept face. That's nice.
Yeah, you're not good looking enough.
Face is you.
This is a fantastic summer fun movie. It does a great job of like, hey, you remember that show you liked? Well, we're not going to ruin any of that, but we're going to just kind of update it a little bit and still hold all that is true. Just fantastic action sequences, fun, kind of like, you know, it's not like you can see how it's going to all unfold, so it does a good job of like, I got a
like,
plan.
You can't tell what the plan is when it's happening, but you can when it comes together.
Yes, and when he lights up the cigar, you're like, oh, it all makes sense.
Like, oh, smoking, I don't know.
Yeah.
You just light the end.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Just sick action sequences, it's fun.
Now, do you think Liam Neeson was better in this or in Chloe?
Chloe.
Wow.
Chloe is really where he pushed himself.
I agree.
I thought he was fine. I loved all the choices for the characters. And then if you stay after the credits, you get to see some of the original cast members.
Oh, cool.
That was
and how was Bradley Whitford?
Were they cleaning up the theater?
Yes, they were. Yes, they were. Especially in the scene in front
Slam.
I guess you can't make a movie without Bradley Cooper, so they have him. So if you're a big fan, or if you find him attractive.
Or Bradley Whitford.
Yeah.
Love his name.
Whitford was up for it.
Yeah.
Yeah, he just couldn't
make it.
He's
very busy.
He's very busy?
Yeah, he's working on some other scripts for Studio 60 that he thinks are going to go really well.
No one knows that shit.
Nobody.
He's on The Good Guys, which is pretty funny, actually. Mm.
Is it?
Yeah. I've only seen the commercials.
And that's it for the week indeed. Guys, we're going to move on to trivia, and for that we're going to turn it over to Mr. Pete LePage.
All right, yeah.
This is the part we give back to you, the lovely audience. Thank you so much for coming. We really appreciate it. It's an opportunity to win $25 free in the form of a gift card to Midtown Comics. Who would like a chance to win $25 free? Simply raise your hand.
No, he's 20, there.
Yes, you, sir. Come on down.
Anytime you want to join me, that'd be great. So what's your name?
Tom.
Tom, audience, Tom.
Hi, yes.
Hey, Tom.
All right, so that's your possible gift card. So how this works is I'm going to read you a question. You listen to all three possible answers, go 3 for 3, gift card yours.
It's multiple choice.
It's multiple guess. Correct. And today's trivia is on True Blood, the comic.
I've never seen the show.
Okay. All right. Well, don't worry about
that's
it.
That's right.
All right. Thank you, Booth.
Thanks.
Okay, so True Blood, the comic, will focus on Blank and Friends. Who is the first main character is going to focus on? Is it A, Snooki, B, Bill, or C, Count Chocula? Or I'm sorry, Snooki. I said Snooki,
sure.
That was funny.
Great.
So, A would be the correct answer, B would be wrong, and C is ridiculous. Which one are you going for?
Hey.
Nice work! Yeah. Thank you. I try to get my Jersey Shore references in when I can.
Real subtle.
Real
subtle.
Sm-
absolutely. Thanks. Who will be doing the covers for the True Blood comic? Will it be A, J. Scott Campbell, B, Frank Cho, or C, Dorian Gray? So it is either A. Or
hey.
You could.
Hey.
Yeah! Before you guess, look here. All right. For all audiences,
great literary reference.
Okay. So.
Scott Campbell's not really a good fit for vampire.
Yeah, Pete.
No, he does fantastic artwork.
Yeah, but he draws hot
women. Yeah, sexy stuff. It's not. We're not here to.
This is a big show.
So a new creature will be introduced, ooh. And it feeds on. Is it A, blood, B, emotions, or C, the doozers? Fraggle Rock. What do you mean? What's a doozer? So it is B. Yes. $25 free. You did it.
All right, very good job.
Great. Yeah, great job.
Great job. Awesome. Yeah, really good job. Love the Snooki reference.
Oh, man.
Yeah. I'm such a fan.
Read.
Have you seen Bloodshore?
Yeah.
No. Cool. As we all know, tomorrow is New Comic Book Day. We recommend you go to Midtown Comics because they've been nice enough to sponsor the show. Pete, what are you looking forward to?
I never thought I'd be saying this, but I'm looking forward to Crossed Family Values, number 2, is coming out. Yeah.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Why are you looking forward to it?
The series is creepy, and like, I have this horrible relationship where I read it, and then I'm like, I can't believe I bought that. And then I'm like, I want the next one to come out.
You're a real pervert. I can't believe you didn't say Four Eyes. Number 4 comes out.
What? Changing my answer.
Read your list.
I don't know how I missed that.
Yeah, what are you looking for?
Probably because you're sort of a Four Eyes.
Nice reference.
It's not a reference. I'm looking forward to Deviate, Gods and Monsters. It's been a cool sort of take on superheroes go to another planet, and then they are the gods of the planet. And they're like teen, angsty, sort of wildcats like superheroes. It's really nice.
I'm looking forward to Heroes, Her O's, number 3, Grace Randolph, who's been on the show a couple of times, the writer. And I've really been enjoying it so far. It's a different take on female teen superheroes in high school. It's nicely written. It's fun, enjoyable, out-of-continuity comic book. David, what are you looking forward to?
After I buy the third and final issue of Angel Barbary Coast, which I wrote, and sent to all my friends, I'm actually looking forward to this Doctor Who TARDIS handbook. Because I've been, I don't know, I'm still on the fence about the new Doctor, but I like the new TARDIS, and there's a swimming pool in there, and I want to see it.
Nice. Cool. And what else?
Yeah, swimming pools!
What else should people check out from you that's coming up?
True Blood number 1 comes out at Comic-Con in mid-July, and the Red Herring trade is out mid-August.
Great. Which is amazing. Red Herring's amazing.
Hellblazer?
Yeah.
That one.
All right. And is there anything on the internet or otherwise that you'd want to plug?
I'm actually not doing anything right now. So, man.
Cool.
Yeah.
Nothing
well,
from
good luck.
Your guy?
No, I can't think of anything right now.
Oh, that's so weird.
Kissel Shitless, ladies and gentlemen. You can find it on YouTube. You can find it on Funny or Die.
We gotcha.
Couple of things before we go. You can check us out at youtube.com/comicbookclub. Also, next week, as mentioned, we are going to have Christos Gage and Mike McCone, authors of Avengers Academy, here right on the show, talking about that book and other things. A couple of people we want to thank before we go. We want to thank David Verena.
Yeah!
Thank you guys. We're here every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. Please tell your friends. Good night.
Thanks, everybody. Hey, it was a pleasure having you.
Hey, thank you very much.
As always.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
That was awesome.
Thank you so much.